with God's service, this is the start of a new school year. And as always, it's a milestone for many of us. So I wonder, how many of you here are going back to school as a student or as a teacher or in some capacity? If you wanted to stand up or give us a wave, if you're online, you can wave to the screen. Don't be shy. Yes. Yeah, many of us here are going back to school, and some teachers I see, yes. Oh, very exciting. Great to see you today. And even if it's university, too, can't forget university students. Well, I do hope you know that as a church family, we are thinking about you, and we're cheering you on. You've gone back to school with our prayers, but not only that, we want to remind you that you're also going back to school with God. Schools, nursery, and further education have been badly disrupted this past year, and the going has been hard. But it's good, therefore, to come together as a church family today, to draw strength from God, to express our love and care, and to support those involved with schools this term. So as we begin our service, let's hear some words from Psalm 33. They help lift our eyes away from ourselves and worship in the living God. I invite you to join me in saying the words together of verse 22 after I say them, and the words are in black on the screen. God's word is true. Everything he does is right. He loves what is right and fair. The Lord's love fills the earth. So our hope is in the Lord. He is our help, our shield to protect us. We rejoice in him. We trust his holy name. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Now, our opening hymn this morning is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. come to God with a word of prayer together. Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you. Your word is true. Everything you do is right. Your love fills the earth, and all your people praise you. We want to say to you today that our hope and our trust are in you. No matter the difficulties, no matter the challenges, you are the God who draws near to help us and to save us. May we know your presence with us today and always, in school or wherever we may go. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. And hear us now as we join together and say the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Our theme for our Back to School with God service today is the boat and the breakfast. And so I want you to be involved in some work. I want you to think for 30 seconds. That's probably the limit that some of you can think. I want you to think for 30 seconds of any Bible stories that mention a boat. And you who are online, you've got to think about them too, and then you can share them with the person next to you. And it's good because they won't hear a thing you're saying because you're wearing a mask here, but at home you can. And see how many different stories you can think of in the Bible that have a boat in it. Right, think and talk to the person next to you about things to do with boats. Okay, that's your time. So, I'm going to give you some suggestions, and if you've thought this or said it, and I'm looking at you online as well, then stick up your hand and say, got it. Okay, how many people thought of Noah and the Ark? Hands up. Yeah, I can see you. Hand up, right? How many of you said Jonah and the big fish? Okay. How many said the time when Jesus came by the seashore and they were mending their nets and he called the disciples? Slightly less of you. Jesus is pretty central to our faith, so it's good if you remember some of his stories. How about Jesus walking on the water to the boat? You get that one? Okay. How about when Paul his boat capsized when he was traveling to Rome? Okay. Anyone get any other boat stories apart from the ones we've mentioned? Yes. I can't hear a thing.
When King Solomon asked the king to send wood to build house of God.
Okay. Right. Okay. Any other ones? Yes, Gordon.
Jesus pushed out in the boat to preach to the crowd.
Jesus pushed out in the boat to preach the crowd in Luke chapter 5. Yes? Right. Okay, another story about Jesus. Jesus was always in a boat. You remember, he went across in a boat to a graveyard and he found the man who was possessed with demons. Okay, we're going to talk about another story which involves Jesus, breakfast, and a boat. But before we do that, let me ask any of you who are at school, back at school, and that includes you, Clara. I know you've got difficult teachers, but life can't be what we all want. I want to ask how many of you got a new school bag or something for going to school? Stick up your hand if you've got a new school bag. Or new pencils or pens. Or something new to get you to school. Yeah, some of you got that. Okay. And how many of you, stick up your hand if you went, you were starting something for the very first time. You're going to nursery for the first time, or primary for the first time, or secondary. Anyone doing a big change? Yes, you're going to nursery, were you? School. Primary, right, good. What were you going to, Robin? High school. I thought you were going to say university. I just thought, you know, being such an able student, you just miss out secondary and just go straight there. Okay, well, listen, if you've made a big jump up, if any of you've moved into a class where your teacher's now called Mrs. Pobbles, well, God bless you, and we hope you'll have a really good year at school. And I wonder what it means to go back to school with God. And we're going to use our story about the boat and the breakfast just to get you in the mood. Here's the boat, and here's the breakfast. We're thinking about a boat and a breakfast. And for those who are listening on phone, I've just held up a boat and a packet of Frosties. And what we're going to do now is we're going to get Gregor to multitask. He's actually putting up the images, but he's actually going to read the Bible reading. So he's going to blink his eyes and the images will just appear of the story. That's the wonders of modern technologies. His eyes are connected to images. So let's hear the story. Gregor.
Just get my eyes ready. Let's hear from the Bible. This is from John chapter 21, and I'm reading from verses 1 to 14. Get my eyes right. Later, Jesus showed himself to his followers by Lake Galilee. This is how it happened. Some of the followers were together. They were Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee, and two other followers. Simon Peter said, "I'm going out to fish." The other followers said, "We will go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. They fished that night, but caught nothing. Early the next morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the followers did not know that it was Jesus. Then he said to them, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" They answered, "No." He said, "Throw your net into the water on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did this. They caught so many fish that they could not pull the net back into the boat. The follower whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard him say this, he wrapped his coat around himself, then jumped into the water. The other followers went to shore in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. They were not very far from the shore, only about 100 yards. When the followers stepped out of the boat and onto the shore, they saw a fire of hot coals. There were fish on the fire, and there was bread. Then Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Simon Peter went into the boat and pulled the net to the shore. It was full of big fish. There were 153. Even though there were so many, the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the followers dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He also gave them the fish. This was now the third time Jesus showed himself to his followers after he was raised from death. Amen.
So you may wonder after that why we bother having Gregor sitting behind the screen, since the pictures can just change without him being there. I knew it was all just a con, really. But there we are. Now listen, in the story, the the followers did not immediately recognize who Jesus was. It was a stranger at the shore, and then John saw it was Jesus. Well, let's go back to school. I'm going to show you a picture of something you might well have at school, and you've got to tell me what it is. You can shout out if you're online, and I'll listen very carefully. So, can you recognize these things which have to do with school? Let's have the first one. Right, what's that? Who wants to shout out what that is? It's what? Sandwiches, yes. Would you have sandwiches at lunch? Let's open it up and see what it is. Yes, it's your packed lunch. And you have your packed lunch at school. Sometimes you have school dinner, sometimes you have packed lunch. Let's try another one. What's that? What do you think that is? Yes, thank you. It's a school bag. Let's open it up. Yep. Okay. What about the third one? Let's try the third one. That's more challenging. Anyone see what that is? Can you imagine it magnified? Grown-ups are allowed to play too. Yes, I can hear you online, but they can't hear you down here. So, anyone else? Oh, it's defeated you. Do you know what it is, Audrey? You do if you've got the script. Okay, there you are. Shoes. And you probably didn't recognize them because you don't usually polish your shoes, so it's nice to see nicely polished shoes. What's the next one? That's very simple, isn't it? It's not a pencil. Orla? Jotters, yes. Let's open them up. It's your nice jotters before you've drawn faces on them. And then the next one? That's for your pencils. Yay! Well done, the pencils. And the fifth one is, the last one is so easy, unless you've never seen a tie before, because it's a tie. A tie is becoming a rarity beast. Look around you here. I cannot think of when I came to this church 41 years ago of any man not wearing a tie and a jacket. And now only Ian Graham, and he's only doing that because he's going to say something. Oh, and two session clerks wearing them, keeping standards up. Oh, and Keith, there we go, three ties. That's a world record for Palmerston Place. Now, we recognize these things because they're all part of school life. We expect to have our lunch and have our bag and our jotters and our so on. Now, Peter might not have recognized them because his way of doing school was different. But what he knew about was fishing. He knew all about boats and the Sea of Galilee and fish. So we want to think about that story, and Audrey's going to teach us.
Well, our Bible story takes place after Jesus had died and risen from the grave. He was now alive. John had just told us how Jesus had appeared to Mary and the disciples, including Simon Peter. Jesus had told the disciples to go to Galilee and wait for him. It had been an exciting time, an overwhelming time. Peter had had enough of sitting and waiting around, talking and discussing. He wanted to go fishing. He wanted to be doing something he knew. Because remember, Simon Peter had been a fisherman before he met Jesus. The boat was like his office, maybe, or like his school. It was familiar to him. So his friends, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, and two others wanted to join him. They said, hey, we'll go along. And so they all got into the boat and pushed off from the shore. It's really good to get together with friends, isn't it? We enjoy their company. We enjoy doing things together. And they can really cheer us up, can't they? For some of us, this is maybe why we love school, because we get to see our friends. For others, we may feel more like Peter. As we return to school, wanting to be active, doing things, discovering and learning, for many, school is familiar, and we like to be there. Simon Peter and his friends were looking forward to their all-night fishing trip. It was not unusual to fish by night, you see, and Peter knew the times and the places that the fish could be caught. He was an experienced fisherman. He knew what he was doing. But even so, things did not turn out the way he had hoped. A long, hard night of fishing ended with disappointment. Because by the morning they had caught absolutely nothing, not one fish. Their net was empty. I wonder how they might have felt. Perhaps you could show me with your faces, draw on your pieces of paper how they might have felt. Maybe a face that would show maybe disappointed, I don't know. Or maybe you could tell your neighbor how they felt. I realize now with masks, you wouldn't be able to really see smiling or sad faces. And if you're at home, feel free to discuss with your family or someone around you. Any faces here? Oh, yeah. It's a smiley face. Maybe they were positive anyway. Who knows? Any other faces to show us how they might have felt? Sad face, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, definitely disappointing, I would think. It'd be hard to spend all night fishing for nothing. And I wonder if we can think of a time when we put a lot of effort into something and it didn't quite work out how we thought. Oh, I see another fish up there, a face. Oh, there's a face, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty hard times, I would say. Maybe we can think of a time where we put a lot of work into school or study, and then we faced frustrations. Maybe even in this past year, which has had its own difficulties. A lot of people have worked hard, but it's brought challenges, disappointment. Learning went online. Parents became our teachers. We missed seeing our friends. Some exams were canceled. Some of us lost people we loved. Some people lost their jobs, and it's been hard to find employment. I'm sure in some ways, on some level, we can all identify with Peter. By early morning, the disciples were cold, they were wet, they were tired and hungry. They accepted their defeat, and they returned to shore. It was no use trying any longer. As they approached the shore, they saw a figure out on the beach. This figure had asked, "Did you catch anything?" They did not recognize it was Jesus at this point, but when the figure told them to throw their nets on the other side, they immediately responded and did exactly what he said. They gave it one last shot to catch some fish. Now, doing what we're told is sometimes hard, isn't it? We often think we know better. After all, Simon Peter knew his job. He was an expert fisherman. He could have argued with this man on the shore and said, throwing the net over on the other side was pointless. But instead, he chose to listen to this stranger, who was, of course, Jesus. And as a result, things worked out better than he could have ever imagined. Those of us who follow Jesus still find that true today. Jesus is worth listening to. He's worth obeying and trusting that he knows best. Suddenly, there were so many fish in the net. It was full and it was bursting almost. The boat that had been empty was now a boat that was full, not just of fish, but of excited disciples. Peter never imagined this could happen, and he could have never made it happen. He needed Jesus' help. He needed Jesus to perform a miracle. Peter had tried and he had failed, but Jesus had made it possible. And in thinking of this, it's good to remember the words of Psalm 33. So our hope is in the Lord. He is our help. We can rely on the Lord, not just on a Sunday, but as Peter discovered, in our everyday lives. So before we move on with our story, I'd like us to sing a song together. This is called Praise That Rocks the World, and some of us may know it from Sunday schools, the Cheeky Pandas. So if you'll stand up and you can try to sing along. Don't worry, you don't have to do the actions, because I know I sure cannot keep up, but we can all appreciate the actions. And sing with us, Praise That Rocks the World.
Today's a perfect day to praise. Monday I wake and do the same. Tuesday and Wednesday I remember. You never change, no. Thursday I raise a melody. Friday you're singing over me. Saturday's the day I count my blessings flowing from heaven. All of my praise you again. Clap, clap, step left, jump, turn around. Praise that rocks the world. Side right, hands up, down, stomp it out. Praise that rocks the world. Praise that rocks the world. Praise that rocks the world. Sunday's a perfect day to praise. Monday I wake and do the same. Tuesday and Wednesday I remember. You'll never change, no. Thursday I raise a melody. Friday you're singing over me. Saturday's the day I count my blessings.
Okay, have a seat, please. Do you know, over the years, occasionally people have taken ill during the service, and it's almost always because they haven't had their breakfast. So I hope you've all had your breakfast this morning. And I want us just to think about food, because that's always a good thing to think about. And I wonder if you can just think of what you would really like for your breakfast. Maybe you had your ideal breakfast, maybe you didn't quite get it because you were running late and so on. Anyway, here's some things up here I want to show you, because we should really learn to thank God for food. Now, if you're watching this or we're listening in on the phone, let me describe. I've got a picture up here with some items for breakfast, and in a minute I'm going to ask people if they could choose just three things from the list for their breakfast, what they would choose. There's a croissant, a boiled egg, a cup of coffee, some cornflakes, a yogurt. There's bread with chalk spread on it. There are pancakes. There's orange juice. There's a muesli bar. There's a banana. And there's bacon and eggs. If you ate it all, you would probably fall asleep at this point in the service. So this is an adult's thing as well. So if you just had to pick three things from that list for your breakfast, what would you choose? Anyone give me an idea? Things that they would like for the breakfast. Jack, you like your breakfast. What would you like for your breakfast? Bananas. A croissant. Oh, you're very sophisticated in your house. Yeah? What else would you like, John? An egg. Okay, and what's the third thing? Anything to drink? Would you like orange juice? Okay. Pancakes, okay. Well, let's say any other adult. I want an adult to have breakfast. Gordon, do you like breakfast? You just had sort of a croissant. Okay. Would people find enough things here for the breakfast that they would like? Okay. Now, in a second, I'm going to change the picture, and you're going to have two questions. Do you like the second lot better, and what's changed and what's stayed the same? Okay, you've got all these items written on your stomach. Okay, online, you're watching. You're probably eating some of these as I'm speaking, I can tell. Right, change the picture now. Right, okay. If you had to eat from that option, I better tell the people who are listening by phone what there is. Now we have strawberries, a cup of tea, cornflakes, yogurt, cold meat, banana, muffin, orange, croissant, pancakes, and boiled egg. Okay, so this is a show of hands. Everyone has to do it. If you've got to choose your breakfast either from picture one or picture two, without looking back to picture one or picture two, how many people would like to have their choice of breakfast from picture one? And how many would like it from picture two? Okay. And how many of you don't like tea or coffee? So that's a no-no anyway. Most of you like tea or coffee. That's good. Okay. So here's the changes. You notice what things just moved. The banana just changed place. The boiled egg just changed place. The croissant, Gordon's croissant. John's croissant. It just moved. And the pancakes. But the toast and spread turned into a muffin. The orange juice turned into an orange. The muesli bar turned into strawberries. And the bacon and eggs changed into cold meat. Anyone hungry after talking about food all this time? Breakfast matters. And I tell you, if you've been up all night and you've been working, by breakfast time you're pretty hungry. And we all know the difference a good breakfast can make. If we start off with a good breakfast, then our tummies are full and we have a good start to the day. And after Jesus had told them to cast their nets, Simon Peter had a full net of fish. So many, they counted them. One, two, it slipped away. One, two, and eventually got to 153 fish. That's some breakfast. And Jesus had made the difference. Now, in some homes, what people do is before their breakfast, they say thank you to God. We talk about saying grace. Not helpful if your daughter's called Grace, because if you say grace, then they all look at her and wonder what she's up to. But we say grace. And isn't it nice if we're going off to school and we're up to our eyes, we haven't done our homework and it's not a subject we like and all the rest, as we sit down to our breakfast, we say thank you to Jesus and ask him to come with us to school that day. And we've got to be slight here of things that we might say as a kind of morning prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for our food. Thank you that you are with us today. And it just reminds us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, to remember to take Jesus into whatever we face. And you can say it if you go to an office, or you can say it if you're staying and working at home. Thank you, Jesus, for our food. Thank you that you are with us today. Why don't we just say that together? Let's say it together. After three, one, two, three. Thank you, Jesus, for our food. Thank you that you are with us today. Now, I want to check how good your memories are. So I'm going to put up another verse. We'll stick that up now. And you see what it says? It says, Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Psalm 33, verse 22. Who can read that out for me? Someone? Anyone offering to read it out for me? Yes, Rosalind, read it out for me. Psalm 33, 22. Okay, Rosalind's done it perfect. Let's make it a bit harder. Let's take one word out. Who's willing to say it now? Remember what the word is that's disappeared? Do you remember it, Mari? What the word is I've taken out? Show. Okay, so Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Right, let's see our memory. Let's take three words out. Okay, who's willing to say it now and try and get it right? Anyone willing to have a go? Ruth. What does it say, Ruth? And the verse? Check, you can read it, that's all. I wasn't sure she was awake. That was the reason I asked her. Okay, well, let's take another three words out. Right. Anyone willing to have a go at it now? You've said it so many times. Come on, Selena, you've run 3,000 miles in the last week. Surely you could remember what the verse is after all this time. Lord, yet for those who are watching online, she got it absolutely right. And if you want to know what it feels like to run 250 miles, ask Derek. He had to endure her doing it the whole way, and the boys. So there we are. Isn't she a star? Right. Let's put all the verse back up together, the whole thing. Off, and there we are. So let's all say it together. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Psalm 33, verse 22. Right, let's go back to the story. There were so many fish. And once again, Peter was reminded that Jesus more than provides. Remember in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus shared bread and fish, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And you see, when we bring our needs to Jesus, he doesn't give us the minimum. He gives generously. And what happened that day was so incredible. It just had to be a miracle. And it made Peter stop and recognize Jesus' love for him. I wonder in this year like no other years, whether you could be able to say that you've recognized God's love just at the right moment. Maybe you were worried about something and it's now sorted itself out. And you heard later that someone said, I was praying for you. Maybe when you were a bit down, someone sent a text or a card or gave a phone call and just cheered you up. Maybe you received a gift or someone sent a photograph of something you'd done together. And that just made all the difference to our day, because we knew then that although life was tough for us, someone cared for us. So let's be like Peter. Maybe on this Sunday, as we've started school but got the whole session ahead of us, let's recognize that God can be at work in our ordinary everyday lives, in what other people do. We can see his loving care. And that reminds us of what we've read in Psalm 33, verse 4. God's love fills the earth. And that appears in the bottom of our screen. Maybe just for a second, you could talk to the person next to you. And if you didn't like the person next to you last time, turn the other direction. You might find someone more pleasant the other way. And just say whether you can think of anything in the last year since lockdown started where you had something that was encouraging. Just do that. Just go and talk for 30 seconds or so. Gosh, time runs on. It's enough encouragement, so let's move on. You know, Simon Peter, he wasn't just caught up with all the fish that were filling his net. He was more taken up with who the stranger was at the shore. And when his friend John said, "It is the Lord," then Peter did a really silly thing. We normally take our clothes off when we go in the water. He put his clothes on, probably because he didn't want to appear underdressed before Jesus. And he jumped into the water and he swam off and he left all his mates to bring home the fish. And he was so keen to get to Jesus. And when the disciples came to the shore, remember they were cold after a long night. They were hungry. They were tired. They saw that Jesus had made a fire. And on the fire, he was already cooking delicious fish and bread. If you don't like fish, think burgers. Or if you're a vegetarian, think mushrooms. Or whatever you think of anyway. That would be a delicious breakfast for you. Or packets of Frosties. How kind. You see, Jesus didn't even need the fish that they caught. He is the Lord of the fish. And he provided for them and he knew what they were needing. Even so, he said, "Peter, you go back and help the others." And then he said, "Come back here, all of you. Come and have breakfast." You know, Jesus could have cooked the meal and just left them to it. You know, like a takeaway driver. Here's your food from Deliveroo or Just Eat or from your local restaurant. Here it is, go and eat. But not Jesus. You see, he wanted to sit down with them. He wanted to share with them. He enjoyed their company. He wanted to hear their stories and listen to their jokes and hear about their problems. And he wanted to talk to them in return. Because you see, they were his friends. And with friends, you want to talk and listen and be. And he got pleasure. And I want you to realize at the start of the thing that Jesus enjoys nothing more than spending the day with you. At school, at home, with your friends, on your screen, playing football, running lots of miles, whatever it might be. And he says, "Come on, come and have breakfast, come and enjoy my company, come and be fed and nourished." And in that treat, they saw him break bread and they remembered that upper room just before Jesus died when he had broken bread and they didn't need to say, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And I want to say that Jesus wants to give us the same invitation, whatever lies ahead this year. None of us know. Come to him, enjoy him. Don't rush away. Don't say other things are more important. And our prayer is that as you go to school, that you'll enjoy the presence of Jesus with you. And as families, in the busyness of life, you'll know the presence of Jesus together. Audrey.
So we've thought a little bit about how Peter and his friends were feeling during this story. They were feeling maybe cold and hungry, wet and tired. And Jesus gave them breakfast. But now I'd like you to think about maybe how you're feeling going back to school this year. So during our next hymn, if you want to draw or write a word or two that describes how you're feeling, maybe draw another face, and this is time for you to pause and reflect on what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And maybe this prayer can help us along. And the slides says happy, nervous, excited, maybe one of these. But in this prayer, let us think about the feelings we can bring to God. When I feel worried because my work is hard. When I feel lonely in the playground. When I want to tell my friends about you. When I'm happy and excited. When I know I need to make a hard choice. When I'm having a really bad day. Jesus, help me to remember you are with me. And so maybe as you reflect on this and draw or write your words, we'll have our next hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Our service, you may be seated. We want to finish our service by praying for local schools, reminding ourselves that God can show his love to us as we put our trust in him. So I'd like to ask a parent and a pupil and a member of the church to join us now. Roddy is coming up, and Carol and Ellie will join us to lead us in our final prayer this evening. Thank you, Colin. They'll be praying us out into the school year ahead. And I'd like us to...
I got lost.
Here you go. And I would like us to join them in this prayer. As each one finishes their prayer, we will all say together, Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you. And the words of that prayer are on the screen. So Roddy will begin us with our prayer. Thank you.
Father God, we thank you today for every child and young person in our church fellowship. We pray for those who have started for the first time at nursery, primary, secondary, or home learning. We pray for those who have changed schools and for those who have additional support needs. May knowing that they go back to school with God help them settle in quickly. Father, we pray for our students who will start college and university in the next few weeks. May they know that you are with them and that you care for them. We pray, Father, that our schools, colleges and universities will be places of learning, creativity, encouragement and discovery for all our young people. We ask that your peace and joy would fill classrooms, playgrounds and lessons. Help pupils and students and teachers with each challenge and difficulty they face. We also pray that extracurricular activities will resume safely, and through them pupils will grow in skills, understanding and friendship. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you.
Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you.
Father God, we pray for our head teachers and support staff who work so hard to ensure that we thrive as pupils and reach our full potential at school. We thank you for the support and encouragement they give us. We ask that you give them wisdom for the year ahead. Please remind them of the impact they have on the lives of so many pupils. We pray for those in our own church who work in schools in challenging moments. Please give them patience, encouragement, and a sense of your presence. Guide them by your Spirit. We pray that the staff room would be a place where words of encouragement and hope are spoken. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you.
Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you.
Father God, we thank you for our service. Father God, we thank you for our service this morning. You are trustworthy and faithful, generous and kind. You are faithful even when things don't turn out as we would want or imagine. Thank you for your incredible love. Forgive us when we doubt your goodness and wander far from you, for times we think we know best and don't listen to you. We are sorry, Lord. In our disappointments, failings, fears and worries, draw us close to you. We pray for those involved in education. We pray for those in positions of leadership and influence who make decisions at local and government level. We pray especially for Christians who serve and work amongst them, that you would protect them, that they would lead with integrity, and they would be influencers for good and work in a way that reflects and honors you. We pray for those who serve in parent-teacher associations, the boards of governors, who have important decisions to make. May your Holy Spirit guide them. Going forward, we pray for assemblies, SU groups and other Christian support might be allowed to continue, recognizing their value as places where children and young people can wrestle with tough questions, explore the Bible, and find out who you are. We pray for wisdom for our church family as we support our local schools. Lord, please stir us to compassion and stir us to action. Please help us bring encouragement to our children and teachers, both practically and through ongoing prayer. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you.
Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you. Amen. Thank you. And now, it wouldn't be a Back to School with God service without our prayer initiative, which is usually brought to us by Dorothy Steele. We have a recording of Dorothy actually this morning, so let's listen as she explains our Back to School with God prayer initiative.
There is a saying, the family that prays together stays together. I would like to hope that this applies just as strongly in our church family. Every time a baby is baptized in church, we are all asked to stand and promise to pray for that baby and his or her family. If we're honest, this is a very hard promise to keep, especially when there are as many children and teens as we have in Palmerston Place Church. Some years ago, we came up with the idea of preparing cards, each with the name or names of all the kids in one family, their dates of birth, and the nursery or school attended. These cards are put in envelopes and offered to any member of the congregation who would like one. They will take them home and remember to pray for that particular family. This way, we are helping each other to keep the promise we all make at a baptism. And it is perhaps a little less daunting and more manageable than trying to pray for all the youngsters. We try to include all the young folk from the newest, thinking of Katie Telford, to those who are coming to the end of school life and beyond, whether or not they were baptized here. It is, of course, absolutely fine for you to contact your family if you would like to do so. It's very encouraging for parents to know that a member of the congregation is praying regularly for them. It also means that if there are serious concerns, a parent could ask the prayer to pray about that matter. We Scots are a little hesitant about telling people we are praying for someone regularly in case we sound holier than thou, which is rather sad. St. Paul made no secret of those he prayed for. But it is entirely up to the person who takes a card. We are living in increasingly challenging times, when even to mention that one goes to church can be difficult. Kids in primary school, never mind teenagers, are struggling with the desire to have friends and belong, and at the same time to stand up for what they believe is right. We should take our promise to pray seriously and encourage parents, families and young folk in their faith. Our faith will surely grow as we pray, as well as having the joy of watching them grow in so many ways. Today is Back to School Sunday, when we focus on all the young people, from newborns to teenagers and even beyond. To my mind, anyone who reached 50 is still young, so pray on. Audrey has the envelopes with the cards. Please take one and play a part in reaching the folk who will grow and one day become an influence in whatever life they lead. Thank you, and God bless us all as we serve him in this vital role.
I will have the cards and envelopes. If anyone would like to come take one and pray for one of our young people, see me after the service. Colin.
Well, we're almost at the very end of our service. But I just want to say one other thing before we finish. The first thing is to say that for one of our families, this is their last Sunday with us, and I wanted to acknowledge that. Jack and Becky are leaving us with their children, because Jack starts next Sunday as his probationary placement in Dunfermline East with the Reverend Andrew Morris. This is his last stage before he becomes let loose in an unsuspecting world. And we just want to say two things. First of all, thank you enormously to all that all four of them have brought to our church, and to assure them that when they leave us, we will continue to remember them. Jack and Douglas both graduated just a couple of days ago, last night. Which is why Jack's hair still combed. And so Douglas has already started his probationary placement in the Canongate, and he will be back doing the evening service on Sunday the 12th of September when Audrey and I are down in Peebles. Last Sunday I wasn't here because I was preaching in another of our elders, Fraser Edwards, who is now established as minister in Innerleith and Walkerburn and Traquair, and who is celebrating his first service of communion this morning in that church, and we wish them well. And then we have two others in our connected with our congregation who are starting placements. Dawn Westwood is starting in Bog Hall, and our daughter, Jo Black, who grew up in this church, is starting her placement as a candidate in Gorebridge. So on this day, as people go back to school, let's remember those we are sending out in Palmerston Place's name as well as Jesus' name, in the name of the church. And the last thing before we have our closing hymn is to say this. It's wonderful that Jesus is for us. He is our Savior. He died for us and rose again, and we find forgiveness. But the theme of our service today is that he is also with us. Not just for us, but with us. Back to school with God. And let's take Jesus with us, because as our final hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Closing hymn, then the benediction, and then I've been told we have to sit down again. Let's sing our closing hymn. Father, your blessing as we go to school, as we go to work, as we stay at home, whatever we might do. May the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the friendship of Jesus Christ the Son, and the joy of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with you all this day and always. Amen.
As everyone knows, Colin has been minister here now for 25 years. So this is a special occasion, but before people leave, we would like to celebrate this. But this connection of Colin to the church actually goes back 40 years. I think he must just have left school and come somehow. He started his probation here living in the basement of 10A. He survived because of the cheerful assistance he received from the church officer of the time, who was resident number 10, who's still a member of the congregation. I don't know if she's here in person this morning, Margaret McNeil, or because she's normally, if she's not here, she's certainly online, and I know I've joined her many a time in the breakout rooms. But her quote, her memorable quote about Colin was that practical matters was not his forte. But as we all know, preaching is. And what is genuinely brilliant about his preaching is the way he always brings a fresh insight to even the most familiar passages. The way he keeps you interested and engaged and allows God into our hearts and minds. And his sermons are always also terribly relevant. He never forgets to mention when Scotland has won at rugby, for example. But as well as being a brilliant preacher and an excellent pastoral carer, he is also an expert in finance and church procedure, not to mention being a workaholic. But as if these talents were not enough, he has shown himself to be a skilled mentor, supporting and guiding a whole stream of young people into the ministry. And we had the names of some of them this morning here. I think we have all seen how they have grown and developed under Colin's direction. But his true forte is chairing meetings. When talking to one of Mary's ex-pupils, who is now a Church of Scotland minister, I told him that I was in Palmerston Place and my minister was Colin Sinclair. His immediate response was, "The Jedi Master of chairing meetings." Which certainly helps me when I'm doing my job as session clerk and taking the session minutes. But of course, the real question now is, what is Colin going to do with his next 25 years of ministry? With the shortage of ministers in the Church of Scotland, it's certainly going to need all of his talents over the years to come. But actually, this isn't really a celebration of 25 years of service, because we've had two for the price of one here, with Ruth contributing through all sorts of activities like baby and toddler, friendship club, pastoral work, and so on and so on. Not to mention putting up with Colin's workaholism. Is that a real word, workaholism? I don't know. But anyway, so this is really a golden anniversary of 50 years of golden service from the two of them. So over to John to present them with a token of our appreciation.
Colin, please accept this as a small mark of our gratitude, esteem and love for all you've done for Palmerston Place over the last 20 years and for the wider church. And I'm just going to read out the inscription on this plate.
I'll move it over.
It says, "Presented to Very Reverend Colin Sinclair, 29th August 2021.
Do you want to go and get it right?
Mark 25 years of loving service to Palmerston Place Church. Thank you so much for all you've done for us."
Ruth, will you join us, please, Ruth? We'd also like to present these flowers to Ruth and cake to eat. So following the service, if you would like to remain here, we will serve the cake and have tea and coffee and a time to chat and give Colin a good air hug and say thank you for your years of service. Thank you.
I'm conscious that car parking charges start at 12:30, and I don't want your memory of my 25th anniversary to be a £30 fine or whatever it is for being late. So if you have to whiz off, rush to the front of a queue, grab your cake and dash off and have that. If you can stay, that would be lovely. It's been great. It's been great. When I got a phone call from Brian Chapman, who was one of my six session clerks here, after which there was Ian Swanson and Peter Gray and Norma Rolls and Ian and John, all who have been wonderful friends. You know, the session clerk's role is to defend the congregation from the minister and to defend the minister from the congregation. And all my session clerks have done that wonderfully well. But we've had a wonderful 25 years. You talk about two for the price of one. I think actually it's been six for the price of one, because all our children have been actively involved in their growing years in Palmerston Place, and quite a few of the times when the youth group was happening only happened because our children went out and rallied the troops and brought them in. And I'm sorry, we just ran out of children after four. We're on to grandchildren now, but they're not quite ready to do a youth group. It's been a huge privilege, and it's been a safe place for our children to grow up. And you've just been so kind to both of us and to all of us. And looking forward to next Sunday. Let's have our tea and coffee and cake.